Hello everybody who's out there listening to us here on Heart of the Matter. It's good to be with you today, and we have with us in the studio Janice Burns. Hello Janice.
Hi.
And Janice, you may well know Janice actually, because Janice is the food bank manager for Midlothian. So that's going to be really exciting. We're going to hear a bit more about that later. But first of all, Janice, where do you actually hail from?
I live in Mayfield.
You live in Mayfield?
But I was born in Glasgow.
So
but we moved when I was only two, so I've been in Mayfield since then.
Right.
So about 20 years. No, a wee bit longer.
That's a fair amount of time. And you like being in Mayfield, nice part of Midlothian?
Still in the same house. I love the community. The people in Mayfield, the community is amazing. Yeah, it's great.
It's the heart of Midlothian.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you come through in the first place?
My dad came through with the Glasgow overspill and started working in Ferranti's. Then my brother went to work at Ferranti's. Then I went to work at Ferranti's. I went to school at Newbattle. I was at Mayfield Primary, I better remember that. That was before Newbattle. And I went straight from school to Ferranti's, started working there. Then I joined the Air Force. I became a personnel and administration clerk. I wanted to travel, basically. It was actually by accident that I joined the Air Force, because my friend wanted to join the Air Force and she wouldn't go on her own to the careers office, so I chummed her. And I ended up joining up and she never.
All right.
So that's how I got in the Air Force.
So Janice, you were in the Air Force. Where did that take you?
I first was done my training at Hereford, and then I was posted to RAF Leman in North Yorkshire, which is a lovely place. I went from there to RAF Locking, Weston-super-Mare. Then I went to Stanston Road, which was back to Yorkshire, which was a very small base. And then I went up to RAF Kinloss. I ended up back in Scotland. And from there, I came out and moved to Cornwall.
What did you do in Cornwall? What a lovely place to go to.
Exactly. I did a lot of different jobs. As you know, it's mainly a holiday place, so I worked in a lot of bars. And then I met my husband, Joe, who's American. He was in the American Navy, and he got posted to Hawaii.
So you went off to Hawaii?
Just for 5 years.
Right, so you did travel in the end. Thank goodness for that. How did you enjoy Hawaii?
It was wonderful. Apart from the beasts and the bugs and the foot-long centipedes, I didn't like those. But it's like you move anywhere, you get a job, it just becomes a way of life. It's exciting for the first 6 months, but then it just becomes a hot country to work in. I enjoyed it, but I was ready to come home after 5 years.
And after 5 years, you came back to Scotland?
I actually had my first son, John, in Hawaii. He was 18 months when we moved back, came back to Scotland. And I was pregnant with my second one, Ian. And I moved back to Mayfield and bought a house in Mayfield.
Janice, I have to say, there's not a lot of difference between Hawaii and Mayfield.
Well, unfortunately, my son John had a really rare skin disorder and he didn't sweat. So Hawaii was not a good place for him. And we were told we would have to go somewhere cold and damp. And I looked at my husband and says, I'm sorry, we're going to have to go home. So that's how we ended up back in Mayfield.
Back in Scotland, yeah. Cold and damp.
Yes.
And was it very difficult to make that transition? Probably I should ask you, was it difficult for your husband to make that transition?
Actually, no, because Joe had lived in Italy. He loved it there. And wherever he goes, he fits in. Like in Cornwall, we were living in a town called Wadebridge and everybody knew him. It was quite a wee bit away from the base, but everybody knew who Joe was because he integrated himself into wherever he went. He always got involved in local charity work or community work. So we fitted in fine when we went to Mayfield.
So you came up to Mayfield, and what did you do then? Were you a mum at home? Or?
Yes, for 2 years. Joe stayed in Hawaii. Another reason I came home is because he was in the Navy and he was going on what they call a cruise, which was he was going to be deployed for over a year. And I thought, I've got an 18-month-old and I'm pregnant, so I'd like to go home rather than sit there myself while he was away for a year. And he was due to retire after that. So I thought, I'll just go now and I'll see you when you come back. He didn't go on the cruise, so I didn't have to leave. But these things happen. And then eventually he retired and came back to stay in Mayfield with me. and the boys.
And after a couple of years, you decided to go back to work.
I did. I started off part-time, and my mum helped with watching the kids as well. And Joe, he got a job at Sports Scotland. So when both of us were out, my mum took care of the kids for us. And I eventually went on to work full-time at it was a call centre, which was fun. And I think I did that for about 4 years. And then I managed to get a job back in Mayfield, which was great because it was on my doorstep.
So life went along just as normal. In some ways, although you've had quite an exciting few places to live in the world, your life went along just like any other family.
Yes.
Until something happened in your life which wasn't quite so exciting. You discovered that you had cancer.
Mm-hmm. That was about 3 years ago. And it was a bit of a shock. I'd been getting told for years that I had IBS. But a doctor eventually found out what was wrong. And I had a tumour on my bowel. And there was an offshoot of that onto my liver and one down near the pancreas by the duodenum. And I was told they could operate on the bowel and on the liver, but there was nothing they could do about the one by the pancreas because it was in an area where they couldn't operate. And I thought, oh, so what's the point in operating on the bowel and the liver? But as usual, I never said a word and just went along with it and said, yes, okay, thank you very much. But when I went in to get my bowel done, the day after, the surgeon came up and said to me, oh, by the way, I had a root around when I was in doing your bowel, he says, and I managed to get the one by your pancreas. So that was the happiest day of my life.
How did you feel when you were diagnosed with that word, which we all dread to hear?
I know. Horrible. I think I felt more for my kids than anything else. Because I thought, no, I don't want anything to happen to me, because they were still reasonably young. But thankfully, it wasn't a blood cancer. It was a neuroendocrine cancer, and allegedly I'd had it for about 15 years. So it was better to get it out than to leave it sitting there. It was hard, but having faith in God helped me through it, and that's the only way I got through the whole thing. And my church, my minister, he was amazing.
So let's rewind there a little bit then. Mm. You said that you have faith. How did you go about finding that faith?
My son, John, was best friends with a boy called Nathan, who happens to be the minister's son. And every Sunday, I would go and pick up John from the church because he wanted to go to the youth group. And one Sunday, I decided to go and sit during the church service and get him afterwards. And I sat in church and I just looked around me and seen how happy everybody was. And I thought, I'd like a bit of that. But I didn't believe, or I was kind of mixed feelings, I think, at that point, and I wanted to find out more. And at that stage, after I'd been going to church for a couple of months, somebody invited me onto an Alpha course, and I went on the Alpha course, and that is when I got all my questions answered, because I had lots. And I would recommend anybody who's in any doubt or who has any questions to do an Alpha course. It was wonderful. I've done three now, but that is as a helper.
When you say that you didn't believe, what was it that you actually didn't believe?
I'm more a factual person, and I like to see proof. You give me undeniable proof of something, I'll believe it, but I couldn't find any. And that is why I did the Alpha course.
So, you said you had all your questions answered on the Alpha course and you wanted proof. What kind of proof did you get on the Alpha course?
Not so much proof. There was a lot of evidence to the existence of Jesus. and credible evidence. The one thing I took from it, and it was when I asked somebody in the church, I asked them that question, why are you here? Or how are you like you are? Because she was always so peaceful and happy. And she says, it's just trust. And that resonated big with me. And to me, it's a choice. You choose to believe or you choose not to believe. And I'm glad I chose to believe because my life's just so much better since I chose to believe. And it was after that that I got ill. So I was so glad I was in that place when it happened because, like I say, that's what got me through it.
And the church that you went to was Gorebridge
Parish church,
wasn't it?
Yes.
And so presumably you became a member there, did you? And embedded yourself in what was going on.
I joined the finance team.
You joined the finance team.
They were looking for people to help. I said, I'll help. Mm-hmm. That's the sort of thing I did. And that's where it started, really.
Okay. And so you just enjoyed being at church?
I loved it. Sunday used to be my worst day of the week. I hated Sundays. I don't know why, but I never liked Sundays, I think, because I was always looking for something to do. But now is my favourite day of the week. Totally changed. Came full circle.
So did your family see a difference in you? Did it kind of resonate with them that here was their mum changed a bit?
Joe's always believed. My husband's a Catholic. And we never ever discussed religion. How sad is that? And as soon as I started the Alpha course, I started asking him questions and actually found out loads that I never knew, which was a bit mad because we'd been married about 17 years by this time. But the first time we'd actually talked about religion. And it was really interesting. Both my sons were going to church anyway. So because we all started going round about the same time, I don't think they actually noticed a difference in me as such. Joe did. He noticed a difference.
What kind of things did he notice that were different about you?
I was a lot calmer. Not as hyper as I normally am. And like I say, it was nice to chat to him about these things because he has a vast knowledge. So if I'm ever stuck with any questions, because I'm quite new to it and so I'm still learning. And if I'm ever stuck on anything, I ask him. He's very knowledgeable. He knows the Bible inside out. He actually nearly became a priest.
If you had it, you wouldn't be here.
So that was maybe a good thing.
A good thing. So you became a Christian. You started to embed yourself in church. How was it then that you got yourself into such a position to want to become part of what was the food bank?
Mark announced that the church would start to be doing things in the local community. And the things they were looking at, one of the things was a food bank. And a couple of people in the church happened to say to me, you know, we're thinking of opening a food bank. I went, are you? I thought, terrific. But I was a bit worried because I thought, if it's volunteer only, I really can't afford to give up my job. I had to work. I've got a mortgage to pay. But maybe I could volunteer on the times I wasn't at work. But I kind of worked full time. I didn't see how I was ever going to be able to do it. The steering group at the church took a year to decide how they were going to do it. And they decided they needed a full-time manager paid to make it work. So, of course, that got my attention. And they advertised the job, and I applied for it. And I was interviewed by 6 people, no less. It's very stressful. And I just prayed that I got the job. And I got a phone call the next day to say that I'd got it. And I handed my notice in that day. I says, I'll be gone in a month. And that's when I started at the food bank. It was last June, 1st of June last year that I started.
And what's your life been like since last June?
Fantastic. It's the best job in the world. It's the only job I've ever wanted to wake up for in the morning. I don't set my alarm, don't have to. I haven't set it since June. I always get up and I'm always happy to get up and get ready to start.
It's quite an advertisement.
Great advertisement.
And your job takes on many different forms, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah. The food bank's open 3 days a week. So Tuesdays, Thursdays and Fridays from 10 till 2 at Gorebridge Parish Church. When we first started, I had to attend a lot of meetings and go out and try and promote the food bank to, not so much promote it, but let them know that we were there. Like the statutory agencies and the charities that may want to get involved with the food bank and be referral agencies. So I had to do a lot of that in the beginning. it's quieting down now, but there's other things going to be happening, hopefully soon, that should pick up the pace a little bit. We're looking to open a satellite. We've just not decided on a location yet.
So you obviously get paid through charitable donations, is that right?
It was a big lottery that we got funding for my salary. That funds my salary.
Mm-hmm. And where does all the food come from?
It's all donated by the people of Midlothian, and they're absolutely wonderful. And I thank every single one of you that's donated, because without them, we wouldn't have it. We do food drives at the supermarkets. Tesco's are very good to us. They actually, whatever we collect, they match in funding for us. So everything's done by weight. And we weigh everything, let them know what weight we've got, and we get 30% for every kilo that we've collected. And it actually amounts to quite a decent amount of money. And they've now put in a permanent collection point at Arden Green, and I have to go down and empty it every week because it's full every week. People are just so generous. And it's all donated. You've got your local churches, your local schools. At harvest time, at Christmas, every day there was an organisation bringing food into the food bank. It was wonderful.
And so, do you have volunteers who work with you?
I do have volunteers, and they're all marvellous. It's a small amount of volunteers. It works better. And they're always there. So I have certain ones that work on a Tuesday, certain ones that work on a Thursday, and certain ones that work on a Friday. The other thing I have to give a mention to, Lonehead Parish Church, because when I do food drives, especially if it's at Asda or at Sainsbury's in Lonehead, the church just provides me with people to man it the whole day. I ask Audrey's on our steering committee, Audrey McLaren, she's a great help, and that's her church. And she just asks people, you know, we're doing a food drive, and they're there. They're brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So I don't necessarily have to use any of my volunteers for food drives, because Lonehead Church, just there's so many of them interested in helping, and they're wonderful at it as well.
And how many people come along to the food bank itself? Is it quite well used?
Since last June, we've fed 1,394 people.
Wow.
480 of them were children.
Really?
Yeah. The biggest gap I find is single people. Mm-hmm. There's nothing there for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're filling a huge gap in society, and that's an amazing thing to be doing. And the other thing that I must say is that some people, just in the last few minutes of this interview, some people have actually found a new point to life, haven't they? In fact, you've given them a bit more than food.
We signpost and we try and restore in their dignity, mm-hmm. because they're apprehensive when they come to the food bank if it's their first mm-hmm. time. They don't know what they're coming into, and we try and make them feel at home and reassure them, you know, just to make them feel better about themselves. And we do, like I say, a lot of signposting if we can help them with different agencies that can help with their situation. We don't ask people to come in and tell us their situation. If they want to talk, they can talk. If they just want to come and pick up food, they can do that and leave. There's no judgment made on anybody at all.
And what a fantastic witness, really, for the community that is in the church. You know,
yes.
It's a real kind of like church meeting the community, isn't it?
I think it's great for the church, because it's the church getting back into the community.
Yeah,
it's letting them know that the church is there. Uh-huh. You know, if you need help for anything, come into the church.
It's where the church is meant to be, isn't it?
Of course it is.
Yeah, Jesus was out there amongst people. He wasn't stuck in behind some big ironclad doors.
It's just continuing his work.
Yeah. If anybody wants to help, or if anybody wants to donate anything, how do they get in touch with you?
We are on Facebook, dare I say, and it's just under Midlothian Food Bank, and all my details are on there. And we also have a website, Midlothian Food Bank. And you can get all my details on there as well. Or indeed call into the church and you can get information there.
And you might get more information than you think.
Exactly.
In Gorebridge Parish Church.
You will.
Thank you, Janice, for
Thank
being
you for
with
having
us today. That's really good of you to come.
Thank you.